Now, yesterday, lots of you got in touch with us on foot of the announcement from the CRU that it approved a levy increase for the network, for the electricity network, to help pay for, I suppose, the transformation and the modernisation and the maintenance of the network that will cost about €100 extra per year. This is on top of the PSO levy that we're already paying for, which is helping to try and subsidise renewable energy, which we're increasing year by year in terms of the amount of power that provides for the grid. But a lot of you started talking about smart meters. Unhappy, a number of you, what you felt was an increase in prices since your smart meter had gone in. Now, there's lots of questions about smart meters, whether you've signed up to a smart meter tariff, whether some people are getting confused and they say, I got my smart meter in and it coincided with the, I suppose, record increases that we've had over the last 2 years since the war in Ukraine and the invasion of Ukraine by Russia hit wholesale gas prices. So to try and find out more and find out about smart meters and what's on offer now, how they work, how they can work, what you have to do to try and get the most out of them, we've got two guests for you on the line. Dr. Barry Hayes, the Senior Lecturer, Associate Professor in Power Systems Engineering at UCC. He leads a research team in grid integration of sustainable energy technologies and the operation and planning of future power systems. And James Murphy of BillGeaney.ie, he's going to take a look at, I suppose, what's on offer now with the latest smart meter tariff plans that are out from the various providers. Good morning to both of you. And Dr. Hayes, good morning and thanks for joining me. First of all, I suppose I want to ask you about the bigger picture here. The whole idea behind smart meters is linked to the way we need to transform our electricity network. We have to upgrade it to modernise it. We have to upgrade it to be able to take on board the renewable energy that will come offshore and the ones we've already developed. And with that, though, we're changing the way we want people to use electricity in their own homes, and smart meters are part of that. Is that right?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right, Gerry, and thanks for having me on. I suppose, look, we've, for our metering, since we built the electricity grid around 100 years ago in Ireland, we've used the old, what we call electromechanical meters, so that the ones that turn as electricity is coming in through your main supply. And a lot of those meters are very old. You know, at some point, we were always going to have to change to a more modern system for metering and billing. And, you know, obviously, the electricity company has to send someone out to read the old meters. You know, everyone's working off estimated bills and so on. So at some point, it was inevitable that we'd have to move to a more modern metering system. You know, everything has gone digital these days. So, you know, we've installed the new smart meters, as many other countries around the world are doing, and actually a lot of other countries in Europe and elsewhere already have the smart meter rollout completed a number of years ago. I suppose the bigger picture, the idea is that when people have a better idea of their energy use, you know, how and when they use energy, that they'll be better able to manage that over time. And what grid operators and what energy policymakers are trying to do over time is, by using price signals, encourage people to use electricity during off-peak times, when that electricity is generated more from renewables, when that electricity is putting less strain on the grid. And in that way, we can eventually have a more efficient, you know, a less carbon intensive energy system overall.
And that's the idea. But for that to work, you need people to sign up in the first place and go for those tariffs. I know there was problems that some people felt they were taking a gamble by signing for a smart energy tariff, that they weren't exactly sure how much it would save them. And has that uncertainty, or maybe a lack of knowledge generally, contributed to the 4% of customers only with smart meters using them properly or signing up for these plans?
Yeah, no, you're that's absolutely right. I think the latest figures that I saw were from May of this year, and I think there's 11% of people that have the smart meters are now on what they call a smart tariff. You know, that's still a quite a low number. So uptake has been slow, as you say. I would imagine that a lot of the people who are already on those smart tariffs, they would be people that maybe have an electric vehicle, you know, that have the electric charger at home, and that they can actually make a substantial saving. And that if you have an electric car charger, it's probably the biggest electrical load in your house, and you can actually save quite a bit by you know, it's easy to shift a good chunk of your demand to the off-peak time and make a saving. You know, for most of us, you know, if you don't have an electric car charger, you know, if you don't have solar panels or battery or smart appliances or these things, you're not going to save a whole lot by moving on to by moving on to the smart tariff. And as you say, it has been a bit of a gamble, because once you go on to a smart tariff, it's difficult to know whether it's actually going to save you money. You could actually lose money if you go on to it. So I think, you know, one of the problems is I think the regulator should have made it so that it's easy to just drop back to the standard tariff if you're not happy. Whereas, you know, users are locked in until they're into their contracts on a smart tariff. It can be difficult to access the data from the smart meter. That's something that's gradually improving. But you're absolutely right. And I think it's very understandable that people haven't been rushing off to get on smart tariff.
Yeah, and look, we had one instance yesterday of a listener who was in favour, said, look, they installed smart meter, energy bill is almost halved, but they moved everything over to nighttime use. Dishwasher, washing machine, all on at night now, like in other words, the heavier loads. And he gave the example of running the dishwasher cost 6 cents per wash. It was 30 cents during the day. So he felt it was working for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's worth mentioning that, you know, we're still at a very early stage in all this. The smart meter rollout still isn't completed yet. You know, most homes in the country should have one by the end of this year. And we're still at an early stage in terms of the smart tariffs that are being offered. The regulator is gradually loosening things up and allowing more tariffs to come onto the market and so on. But for most of us, it's... I think over time, as more and more of us move towards electric vehicles, you know, petrol and diesel will eventually be phased out, and we'll kind of have no choice. As more and more of us move away from the old oil or gas boiler and move on to the likes of heat pumps, you know, naturally you're going to be using, you know, electricity more and more for heat and transport, as well as the normal electricity uses in the house. So your builder, more and more of your energy is going to come from electricity. You're going to have bigger electricity bills, and more and more people are going to look for opportunities to save, but you'll also have that ability to actually move your demand to the off-peak times. At the moment, you know, unless you have a lot of these smart technologies in your house, unless you make drastic changes to your lifestyle, as in eating your dinner at 10 o'clock in the evening, you're not going to save a huge amount, you know?
Okay, stay with me in the line. It prompts another question, but I'll get to that in a minute. We're going to talk with James Murphy of Bilgini.ie as well. We'll get to more on that, and if you've any questions, get them into us. Yeah, we're on the line with Dr. Barry Hayes of UCC and James Murphy of Bilgini.ie talking about smart meters. And James, look, if you could talk to me, we talked to you during Operation Savings a number of years ago in the programme. It was the early days of introduction of smart meters and also the tariffs, and you were making the point that, look, there wasn't really much on offer, there wasn't much savings that could be made by switching to a tariff. Has that changed? Have the companies got better at making better offerings to people out there to entice them to switch to a smart plan?
Yeah, good morning, Jerry. Good morning, Dr. Barry, and good morning, listeners. As you say, I suppose we're coming up to the 2-year anniversary of Operation Savings. Thankfully, 96% of the people that did Operation Savings for us 2 years ago have stayed on. So we've been back in touch with them every year, and they've now gone into their third year or their third contract that we've arranged with them. In relation to the question, I suppose at the time it was a point we raised during Operation Savings at that point, right? We had no real issue with the smart meters, right? The smart meters weren't the problem. What seemed to be the biggest problem when they were brought out first is that they brought out one type of smart tariff. Pretty much all the suppliers kind of said, look, that's our smart tariff, there we go, it's a day night peak tariff, and a lot of people signed up to these tariffs, these smart tariffs, without realizing, I suppose, exactly what was involved, exactly the price, and they were limited in the options that they had at that point anyway. There was only kind of one, but a lot of people would have signed up to tariffs which mightn't suit them, where, you know, if they're cooking the dinner in the evening, the peak time raise might have, they didn't adjust their usage, I suppose, is another problem, but they didn't really know what they were signing up to. Thankfully, look, we're two, and the thing for listeners is, right, this is all new. People can be afraid of change is one thing, right? Smart meters are new. Smart tariffs are new, right? It's new to people. It's new to Bilgini.ie too, right? It's new to us. We're learning as we go, okay? And the pricing and the tariffs available are constantly changing, okay? So, like, if you went on looking and trying to change your tariff, it's very easy to get bogged down, with all the tariffs that are available, okay? Like, you can have, okay, as well as the original day-night peak tariff that they brought out, right? Thankfully, 2 years down the road now, there's more than that available, right? There's EV boost tariffs. You can now get the same 24-hour rate on a smart tariff as you can get on a non-smart 24-hour tariff. So things have completely changed. People can sign up to a smart tariff so their meter is read automatically, and they can get the same price as if they were on a non-smart 24-hour, you know, so it's great for people.
Okay, so it can work from that point of view. In terms of the different offerings now, there's a myriad of them. There's smart day, smart night, smart peak, smart EV boost, smart drive, smart 24-hour. I'd imagine that's designed to try and tailor it to what people might be using in their homes, whether they have an electric vehicle, whether they've got solar panels, whether they, what time they want to use their energy or what time they have to use their energy to try and get them. But you, I suppose you have to put a bit of work into it to figure out what works for you, James.
You do. Like, first of all, it's great now to have the choices, okay? It's a great problem to have a myriad of options for you to sign up to, right? So the important thing now is, look, the options are there, but what you need to do is make sure that you're signing up to the correct one that suits your usage. And I suppose that's where the likes of our service can help with BillGenie.ie. It's a free service, obviously. People can get in touch. Like, what we do with people now is, as well, like, we've always asked for the bill, right? Because the bill will give us the overall usage in the house. It'll tell us the meter type. It'll tell us the current pricing, and we can go from there, right? A new element we brought into it now, what we can do for people is we can help them to download their data. Like, there's a lot of people out there, right, who have a smart meter fitted, as you mentioned the figures there earlier, and only what such a small percentage have signed up to it. So that means the smart meters are out there. They're in place, they're in people's houses, but they're not on a smart tariff. We can help those people, right? Basically, they'll give us their bill. We'll tell them how to download their smart data, right? Now, this is by downloading their HDF file and getting their data. They're not signing up to a smart tariff.
No, no,
right?
they're scoping it out. In the time step, let me ask you this question. Will you have to have your dinner in the middle of the night? Or not even flipping the bottom, but will you have to move things if you want to make the savings? Let's say the heavier loads, like your dishwasher or your washing machine, to maybe after 12, shall we say, to get the benefit of some of the tariffs.
Well, that's to get well. First of all, it depends on what tariff you're on, right?
Yeah.
If you're on a smart tariff, that's a 24-hour tariff. Look, it's the same price in peak time. Okay. So it very much, and that's on a smart tariff, a smart 24-hour tariff. So it very much depends on the tariff you're on. But I suppose if you do sign up to one of these tariffs, and the other thing is, by signing up to one of these tariffs, you're not on it for life, right? Like, you could sign up to a smart day-night peak tariff now, right? And next year or in a few months' time, you could change over and go over to a 24-hour smart tariff, right? You can't go back to a non-smart tariff, but you can change to a 24-hour tariff, okay?
Okay?
Or you could change to an EV boost tariff if that's what suited you, okay? So you have to stay on a smart tariff, but there's loads of different smart tariff options available. I suppose you're not trapped.
Yeah, John has got that problem. He says, they won't allow me to revert back to the old tariff now, says John. I feel my bill has gone up since I signed over to a smart tariff. You'd be encouraging John to look at other options, other tariffs that might suit him better, perhaps.
That's the thing, yeah. Look, without knowing the details, we don't know exactly what smart tariff John is on. But what we will say is, John, that supplier, they probably have a whole host. They won't let you go back to non-smart, fine. But they should have a whole host of other different smart tariff options that you can change to. They will suit your usage better.
Okay. You know, Are you obliged to install a smart meter in your home, James? That's from a couple of listeners.
You're not?
Barry, if I could ask you that question,
Sorry for interrupting you there, James. You're not required, so you have a legal right to say no. And what would happen is you'd stay on your old electromechanical meter until the certification is up for that, and they would eventually then install a smart meter. But obviously, you can stay on a standard tariff if you want. So your legal right to refuse one. Once you have one in the house, you can't send it back and get the old type meter on. And I suppose the thing is, at the end of the day, I mean, the metering is something that's owned by it's owned by the the electricity companies. But you do have a legal right to refuse one. But you'll only be delaying it until the cert is gone
from your one, and you'll have to install one then. But then the idea is you find a tariff that works for you, that doesn't need to be more expensive. Barry, final question. We could spend 2 hours on this subject, but where are we in terms of our transitioning to a better network? We're doing a piece after 10 about how long it takes the government in this country to build out infrastructure. The North-South interconnector story is one that took far too long to upgrade. Are we anywhere on we're talking about customers and what they'll have to do to try and help us transition to carbon-free and get cheaper electricity for everybody. But on the other side of it, are we anywhere near where our grid needs to be able to take in all this renewable power?
Yeah, look, I mean, the biggest problem we have, and in terms of energy and energy costs and so on, 80% of the energy that we use in this country, and it's not just electricity, but heating and transport as well, that comes from fossil fuels, and almost all of that is imported. So we're at the mercy of oil-producing countries in the Middle East who could decide to up the prices in the morning, and they have done that in the past. And, we saw a couple of years ago with Russia's invasion of Ukraine, gas prices got out of control very quickly. We use gas to generate electricity, so electricity prices went out of control. So what we need is to, ramp up renewables as fast as we can, ramp up all these technologies. The grid needs massive investment. As you've said yourself, the likes of the North-South interconnector, planning, NIMBYism, getting these things built, is slowing that down. But the longer we take, the more we delay, the more it's going to cost us. The more it's going to cost us financially in the long run, the more it's going to cost us in terms of the environment as well.
Is there light at the end of the tunnel, Barry? Are we going to ever get to a day, because we have the wind so close to us and so freely built, that we'll have cheaper electricity?
Look, we will. I mean, if you look at the wholesale market for electricity, the market where big generators and suppliers trade on windy days, that wholesale electricity market price drops, and on non-windy days, the wholesale market price goes up. So, as we move more and more towards wind, that doesn't have that fuel cost, that's an indigenous source for us. It will help reduce our energy costs, but that transition, it isn't going to be cheap, and it isn't going to be fast. The challenge is huge, but I suppose there's no alternative.
There's going to be some pain involved, that's for sure. Okay, well, listen, gentlemen, my thanks to both of you. That's Dr. Barry Hayes of UCC and James Murphy of BillGenie.ie, who is up to his eyes in smart tariffs, working through it all.